You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. All right, if you listen regularly, you know that I really enjoy doing my taxes, and it's getting close to tax time. Michael J. Singer is a CPA with Singer and Company, and he joins us. He's a Lifetime Achievement Award winner and honorary member of the Illinois CPA Society, a member since 1970. What are those parties like, Michael?
They're wild. If you know accountants, we're very laid back.
My wife is a CPA, so they're not all laid back. No, I'm just kidding, honey. All right, so I want to talk to you about a couple of things. You know, the stimulus checks or the make-good checks, I'm not sure what to call them, are coming out. So that's one thing to look at. I did not know until just recently that there was a new law, a tax law, that allows for a $300 cash contribution, even if you pass the state and local tax or the $10,000 maximum. So that's something new for taxes. I didn't put that well, but the fact is you can write off more this year. So what else can we expect that's new from taxes when it would sit down to file?
Well, you need to watch out for the stimulus payment that maybe it didn't receive the first go-around of $1,200 for each individual. If you didn't receive it, you can claim it on your tax return, assuming you meet the criteria as far as the limitations are concerned. So there's an income limitation.
Michael, does that mean that if they made a mistake and didn't give it to you, or did they change who might be eligible for it?
No, it has to do with sometimes they didn't have correct bank account information originally, and so they couldn't send the money to the taxpayer, or they maybe had a bad address and the check came back, so the individual never received the $1,200, even though they were eligible to receive it.
I see.
So if somebody didn't get it, as long as they meet the criteria, the income criteria, they should be able to claim that $1,200 on their 2020 tax return that's due April 15th.
And what was it? It was something like $70,000 per person or $150 a couple?
Yeah, I believe that's it. I'm not right on top
sure.
of the limitation, but I think you're close.
Okay, so if you made under that, you likely were eligible for the $1,200 recovery check, and if you didn't get it, you can sort of claw back on it when you file your taxes.
That's correct.
So I'm a big TurboTax guy. Do you accountants hate to hear that?
No, they have a role that is played in the scheme of tax filing. As CPAs, we understand that we can't do everybody's tax return, and most people should be using a professional of some sort to get the tax done, because a lot of mistakes are made if you try to do them by hand. The forms are just too complex.
Yeah, right. So you should be using software or a human professional to get it done and not do it on your own.
That's correct. I mean, we advise you to seek out a CPA, because usually they're much more familiar with the various tax laws and things that are deductible that you can do. The $300 charitable donation you mentioned really is what we call above the line. So that means even though you do not itemize your taxes because you don't have mortgage interest or real estate taxes, you can take that $300 deduction on page one of the return, and that's new this year. But you have to have made the contribution.
I didn't think of that. So even if you didn't exceed the state and local tax, the $10,000 maximum for contributions, so say one of my kids made $12,000 or $30,000, they could have, and they don't itemize, they also could have made that $300 contribution and written it off.
That's right. But the $10,000 you're referring to is basically on the tax line. So that's only affected by real estate taxes and state income taxes or property tax if you're in a property tax state.
Right. So, but if those add up to more than $10,000, it doesn't matter what you give to charity. You can't write off any more, correct?
No, because the charity is a separate line. Donations are separate. So even though you may have reached the maximum $10,000 deduction for the real estate taxes and state income tax deduction combined, you still can take charitable donations up to the limitation. And for this year, if you can't itemize because the standard deduction is greater than your itemized deductions, you can take that $300 anyway on page one.
Right. So that's, as you said, above the line, first thing you can do.
Yep.
So do you think that, the SALT limit is going to be changed now with the Democrats in control? Because, you know, they argued that it was targeted blue states more than red states. Do you think that that's something they're going to go after? Because if they do, they've got to find a way to get that money somewhere else.
Oh, they'll find a way of getting the money. I'm expecting a tax increase. I think the real question as far as the tax increase is concerned is whether they will make it retroactive to January 1, because that's very unusual. Last time I saw that, I think, was in 1993.
Well, they're not talking. Tell me what kind of a tax increase you're expecting from them.
Well, right now we've got that 21% tax that applies to corporations. So we're going to see that. And along with that, there was a deduction that put individual business owners on a par with that. I'm going to probably think that that's going to go away. It's a qualified business income deduction. Mm-hmm. I suspect that'll go away. The corporate tax rates are going to go back up to where they were, which was, I think, 28% and 35%. So we're probably going to see that for sure. Whether we'll see an actual change in the individual rates themselves, that's questionable, because unless they pick it off on the high end,
right?
The
wealthy people. I think President-elect Biden has said that, right? I didn't want to say the figure because I could be wrong, but it's like 450 or something like that. But so the business taxes. So those of us who sit at home under our heated lamp and do our TurboTax returns, most of us probably won't be impacted on that directly.
Right, at least not for 2020.
Right.
But for 2021, I would anticipate that that will probably happen. They'll probably bring back that required minimum distribution for 2021.
That's the alternative minimum?
No, that was for IRAs, over 72 and a half.
Okay. Well, listen, so you're just about at the end of your downtime. Not that you have a downtime, Michael, but things should start cooking pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, well, we're getting busy now doing the employee wage and tax statements, W-2s.
Okay. So do you work primarily then for businesses?
No, we do both. We have a large number of individuals that we do, both very small and some high wealth individuals, as well as small businesses.
How has your business changed since you started? Because, I mean, you're likely using a computer as well when you're filling out or working on people's taxes, just like the rest of us are.
Yes, that's correct. Only ours is much more sophisticated, obviously. But the only thing I think that's changed a lot for us is that more of our information comes in via emails. So they're encrypted PDFs and other methodologies that comes in, as opposed to people actually coming in and sitting down in front of us while we prepare returns. We still have a few.
Yeah. What's the worst shoebox story you can tell me?
Well, I did have a client come in one evening, and it was, a 7 o'clock appointment, and she was carrying a big shopping bag. And she took and dumped the shopping bag out on my desk, so it was all full of receipts. So that's probably one of the worst. And then I had one individual that won a lot of money gambling, you know, at the racetracks, and never kept any of the tickets.
The slips, yeah.
Yeah, and got examined. And when she found out about it, she called me and says, we don't have any tickets to support any of the losses, she says. So I'm ready to go to jail. Have them come pick me up with the handcuffs.
So what happens for the accountant when that happens? If you sign off and prepare what turns out to be a fraudulent return, I would imagine you have to have some protection as long as you were acting in good faith.
Yeah, we have no responsibility to actually audit something. We can take the taxpayer's word for it. We try to get that all in writing wherever we can. We try to see some receipts if we think there's something. We ask a lot of questions, trying to ascertain that what that the information we're getting is complete and hopefully accurate. Generally speaking, we wouldn't be held liable on fraud as long as we relied on that type of information. The only time we have to audit and see receipts is if we are aware that the taxpayer had previously been examined by the IRS and there was a tax change.
I see.
Then we're required to look closely at it.
So, what is the likelihood of someone being audited by the IRS these days?
Very small.
Yeah. But that's interesting though, because very small, and yet because of the computerization, right, they're much more likely to catch mistakes just by the run of the mill check of them.
Well, that would be a mathematical error,
yeah,
more than likely, and that's not really an examination. So mathematical error is they just send out a notice and they tell you that you added something wrong, and they tell you you owe the money. That would be mathematical in nature. So it depends on what type of an error they look at. Right now, they, of course, are concentrating on more of the high-income individuals, so a greater proportion of their examinations are high-income individuals because that's where they find most of the errors in the tax returns, and there's bigger money involved.
But for every tax return that's filed, the math is checked.
Yes.
Yeah.
Particularly if it's electronic filed, there's no checking to be done because it can't be filed if it doesn't add up. But anything that's hand-prepared, they enter it into their system, and it automatically tells them if there's something wrong with it.
Yeah, I've had...
And then they issue a notice.
I've had mine returned because it had was missing a Social Security number for a daycare provider or something like that. And so I know everyone has looked at. But, yeah, I guess that's a good point there. If it's hinky, they're not going to be as likely to notice it as long as it all adds up.
Yeah, and that's probably correct. The exception to that is they do have a matching program where the banks, for instance, send a copy of a 1099 to them. They match that 1099 to your tax return.
Right.
So if it's not on your tax return, you then will get a notice that the income wasn't reported.
Good point.
And generally it's a proposed notice, which means that you have rights of appeal. So you don't have to pay them if you think it's wrong. You just have to tell them.
Michael Singer, listen, we're going to jump on your expertise a little bit later in tax season as well, okay?
Okay. It was good talking to you.
Nice talking to you as well. I'll bring you my shopping bag full of receipts.
Okay. I got a big desk. Don't worry about it.
I got a big shopping bag. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News.